Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so Tomlin there talking about how it was actually nothing that the Chargers did defensively that caused the Steelers' offense to suck the way that it did, because they had seen these things before, and the Steelers just couldn't execute. So that's him putting it back on the players. They were prepared. They knew what to do. They just didn't play well. Really, that's, I think, his way of saying Aaron Rodgers lost us the game.
Which is accurate. That's what he's actually implying, I would agree with him.
The big news today is the way the New York football media is reacting to Brian Daboll getting fired. That's the biggest story for us. As you listen wherever you are and you watch us on our X feed on Twitter, now you can watch us streaming live there. There's a video right up on our Twitter page at 93.7 The Fan, so you don't have to scroll through to find
it.
It's right there at the top.
Right up there.
Yep. The New York football media thinks there's a shot Mike Tomlin is the Giants' next coach. Not saying he's the favorite. I'm not saying he's on a short list of like slam dunk candidates who are going to get the job. But they obviously think he's in play. The New York Post, which say what you will about the New York Post, put him on a list of candidates for the job. That's one thing to do. I mean, that's kind of a New York Post tabloidy move. Let's put a big name on there and see what kind of response we get.
Yeah.
I get that. But then you had Ian O'Connor, who wrote Aaron Rodgers' biography, who has covered New York sports for the better part of like 30 years, used to be on ESPN sports reporters when they were still doing good shows there at ESPN, is a pretty big J journalism guy. And his first column on the Giants moving on from Brian Daboll is the following: why the Giants and Mike Tomlin would make for a perfect marriage. I didn't pay him to write that column, but I might as well have. I mean, I love it. I think that it makes just like the way he went through it for an organization like the Giants that hasn't won a playoff. They've won one playoff game since they last won a Super Bowl in 2011. And they've gone through all kinds of coaching changes and GM changes. They would look at Mike Tomlin because they're wired like the Steelers. They're the NFC Steelers.
Right.
The Rooneys and the Maras are not the Hatfields and McCoys. They're on the same side here. They're allies. They're not enemies.
They're relatives.
Right. Literally.
Yes.
In some cases.
And figuratively relatives.
And so it would make sense that the Giants would prioritize and value the same things as the Steelers. And if the relationship has gone stale here, the Giants might look at it like, this is the type of coach we like. Fresh start, young quarterback. We'll give you something to make you whole, Steelers, but can we see if we can find a second chapter with your coach? And so, like, it makes, I think, total sense from the Giants' point of view to be interested in Mike Tomlin. Then it comes down to if Mike Tomlin would be interested in the Giants and if the Steelers would be interested in
trading
Mike Tomlin to the Giants. And we know they didn't want to trade him to the Bears.
Shall we go piece by piece? Do you think Mike Tomlin would be interested in the Giants?
No, I don't. Not right now.
Well, my thought was,
I think we need things to go really, really, really bad off the rails here to maybe change his mind.
7-10, which would require, after a 4-1 start, 7-10 means you finish 3-9.
But even then, he might look at it like, okay, now I get to go get my quarterback in the draft. And we know
how
much
he got to do that once already.
Yes, but we know how much he loves the draft process of the Senior Bowl and being a de facto coach down there.
So which projected third or fourth rounder is he going to take with the 11th pick?
And, you know, he's going to go have breakfast with Mendoza and lunch with Aller and Ty Simpson and all these guys.
Lunch with Aller?
Yeah.
Well, is he lunching with undrafted free agents to be now?
You know, he's got to make sure he does his due diligence on these guys.
He's got one if he goes and gets Jackson Dart. And wants to be his head coach. He's got a guy already.
But he would need to... Okay, so that gets back to, like, what reporting do you trust on this and what don't you? They supposedly had a first-round grade on Dart, which means they liked him.
At the very least, Andy Weidel liked him because he makes the board.
But they didn't like him enough to take him.
Correct.
They took Derek Harmon instead. And that was before Aaron Rodgers had given them a pinky swear promise that he was going to come here.
Mm-hmm.
They had a good feeling, but they didn't have a guarantee. And also, by the way, even if you thought you were getting Aaron Rodgers for 1 year, you could always draft a rookie. And like Aaron lived that life with
just have
Jordan
the guy
Love,
sit for a minute,
and he
for
won
a year.
And he won two MVPs with Jordan Love backing him up.
Sure.
And those guys seem to like each other, unlike Ben and Mason Rudolph. So,
do you think he would like the New York environment, where by just definition, he is not going to be as big of a fixture as far as everyone's obsessed with Tomlin in this city. Everyone has an opinion on him. In New York, even though he's still the head coach of a football
team. Well, everybody's going to have an opinion on him.
But he's not. But he is still, by definition, a smaller fish in an enormous pond there. The manager of the Yankees gets a lot of flack. The owner of the Mets gets a lot of attention. Juan Soto. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Mike is, Sidney Crosby still commands attention, all of it positive.
Yep.
As far as being a flashpoint where opinions can go either way, he moves the needle. He's the guy here. There are just by definition a lot more of those people
But he would be there instantly because he's a huge name in football, and it's still a football-dominated world, even though New York has a bunch of other teams.
It's a baseball town, though. You've always told me you think that's a Yankees town first and foremost, and then it's a football town right after that.
Well, I think...
And a Knicks town, too.
I think it can be a... I think the Giants have more fans than the Jets, and if they were good, it would be a lot different.
You were locked in. You didn't even work here when the first one of these happened. Like, was Tom Coughlin this central figure in the New York zeitgeist in 2008?
So was Eli. Yeah, those guys are.
2007?
Michael Strahan, of course.
Okay.
Yeah. Rex Ryan was. I think Rex Ryan took the New York media market by storm.
But I think Rex, like, wanted to be the guy who is the center of attention, too.
You don't think Mike leans into that? I don't think Mike is a shrinking violet by any means.
I think Mike likes being that guy in Pittsburgh where he can be standoffish whenever he wants with the locals and have the national.
And he can be that way, too, in New York as long as he doesn't stink. I mean, Aaron Glenn's playing stupid games where he won't even name his starting quarterback for Sunday games anymore.
So you don't think the New York media is, broadly speaking, more adversarial and harsh or attempts to try to get guys into knots?
Yes, I think, especially if things went south there, I think it would be maybe harder than it is here. But I think at first he'd have them eating out of the palm of his hand because all of his Tomlinisms would be new to them.
Okay, here's another question about would he like it
so
there.
My bottom line there is I don't think he'd shy away from the job because of the way he's covered. I think he would have reservations about it because... Is he going to win there? And would he voluntarily want out of a job that he has basically for life?
Well, that's the other thing I was going to bring up. The main reason I would argue against argue the point that he wouldn't want to take that job is, while the Mara family is the Rooneys of the NFC, they have shown a willingness and a propensity to be wildly different with their head coaching stability or lack thereof than the Steelers. You've got Shermer. You've got Dable. You've got the guy from Homer City I've already forgotten about.
The guy from Homer City.
Why am I blanking
on his name?
Ben McAdoo, thank you. Sorry. Completely blanked on his name because he was forgettable. But they're not the Steelers. They might be in terms of like their history and the way that the ownership family is respected, but they don't handle coaches this way. That's probably the biggest appeal for him. If he somehow drags them to a playoff berth either this year or has a bad year but then gets his quarterback and they look like a team on the rise, even if they go 8-9 or 9-8, but they're showing promise, he's going to get another contract extension here. Like, if they say they drafted Mendoza, just for argument's sake, they go 6-11 this year. It really craters. It bottoms out. It gets ugly. Rodgers is even saying stuff. He's gone.
Yep.
Say they draft Mendoza and they get it right. And they win 8 or 9 games and they threaten a playoff spot with a rookie quarterback.
Yep.
he's going to get a new deal.
I agree.
And at that point, like, I'd even play devil's advocate with myself and say, for him to have made enough things go right in that setting, he might actually warrant one.
But then to play devil's advocate with yourself again, you're not really any closer to winning a championship.
No, you're not.
And Mike Tomlin, you know, talks about sticky Lombardis and things like that, but he's also comfortable here and it's on his terms completely.
Correct.
The argument, the pro-Giants argument would be, if he thinks Jackson Dart is the real deal, it's a shortcut to getting closer to a championship. Because
what if he gets told also, what if he thinks that's the case, but he gets told by the Mara family, hey, guess what? We're hiring your coordinators. You're also not
then he wouldn't
running
leave.
The defense.
Then he wouldn't go. Yeah, he would not. I don't think he would. I don't think he would take a job
we'll
that
pay
gave
you a
him
ton
less
of
power.
We'll
I think
pay
he
you
would
a
do
ton
the opposite.
Of money. We'll pay you a ton of money. You can still have a lot of say in buying the groceries for the team, but you're not running the defense on game day.
Yeah, right. I don't think he'd do that. I think he'd leave because a franchise would say, the answer to our prayers is Mike Tomlin.
You're Mike
and basically
Holmgren in Seattle.
Let him do what he wants.
You're Bill Belichick
essentially.
With the Patriots.
I think.
You answer to nobody.
Sure. I mean, he probably would get to pick a GM that he wanted to work with, but it would be like an Omar Khan situation. Where Omar, I think, does his bidding. I mean, Omar has his own thoughts, but everything runs through Mike Tomlin. And I think that's how this would work here. But it's just, look, I'm kicking myself a little bit because when this Dable news came out yesterday, I wish I had put two and two together on this.
And thought like, that they might be interested.
Yeah. And I, like, it makes sense that, like, two of these kind of Tiffany teams that have fallen on hard times, the Bears and Giants, would look at Mike Tomlin as some rock of stability that would be perfect for their franchise. Now, I think we'll see the Bears in 2 weeks. That was a blessing in disguise that Art Rooney didn't want to play ball.
I think
that
the
they
Bears
got Ben Johnson instead of Mike Tomlin.
The Bears so far are reaping. It's funny. I just skimmed the Ian O'Connor piece, and he talks about how the Giants love tough guy coaches like Parcells and Coughlin, and he puts Tomlin in that mold. Tomlin talks tough. I think Coughlin and Parcells were bigger hard asses on their players.
100%.
For sure. Mike is more of a talks tough but is nice to his players. I think the Bears got it right because they did what most good teams do. Hire an up-and-coming offensive mind. Assume or hope that he comes from a good enough situation where he learned leadership skills. I think that's pretty obvious that Ben Johnson did from Dan Campbell. They started 0-2 and the Buzzards were already circling him. They've gone 6-1 since. Like, and I'm not saying Caleb Williams looks like he's the answer for sure, but he looks better than he has. They got it right. I would go so far as to say that, like, if I were a Giants fan who thinks Dart has the raw material to be great.
Yeah.
I'd want Mike Kafka to get a real shot. Unless he's the main reason that Dart just is in concussion protocol more than he's on the field. If you think the OC is the one putting him in danger, then that's different.
So what do you think it would take for Art to be interested in this?
They'd have to, what, offer to trade at least a first?
Oh, and then at that point, you don't think it matters how Tomlin does the rest of the year?
That 365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
If the Giants legitimately said, we'll give you our first round pick for Mike Tomlin, do you think the Steelers could go 9-8 and Art would still think about it?
I would hope that he would, but
I don't think so. I don't think he would.
I think Art starts to think about it at two firsts because other people in the organization say, Art, are you on drugs? Are you high?
But
you know what two extra firsts could be?
But here's, I don't think Tomlin would go to the Giants if they gave up their two first round picks.
It takes two to tango on both sides there. So why would I go to a place that had to mortgage important draft capital? I love the draft.
But he might do it for one. He might leave for one if he likes their situation.
Well, if it's one, the difference is I think he can easier reconcile I going there and like a first round pick being added to the organization because of how great I am. It's funny that in Ian O'Connor's piece about all of this, there is an acknowledgement that it's gotten pretty stale here. And he kind of does the unscientific, if you follow Steelers fans enough on Twitter, you find that they're getting very tired of the merry-go-round. Like there's an admission there in writing that the guy, despite his reputation, the luster is off a little bit.
He's so dialed into the Giants. I wonder if the Giants people have told him, like, hey, Mike Tomlin might be available for the right price. And that's what he's like basing this on.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.